Welcome to Healthy by Choice, a broadcast designed to bring powerful healing into your life today. Gaining and maintaining optimum health is possible at any age. That's what thousands are learning at CHIP, the Complete Health Improvement Program offered across the country and around the world. You can learn more at chiphealth.com. But now, get ready to enjoy some proven results and priceless benefits. I'm your Healthy by Choice host, Charles Mills. Today we talk with a true disciple of healthy living, but as is often the case with most true disciples, it wasn't always this way. Optimum health is a choice we make. It doesn't come automatically simply because we deserve it. That's a lesson our guest learned over 3 decades ago, and since then, she has been spreading the word in true disciple form. Abby J., known better as Chef AJ, is many things: a chef, a stand-up comic, a lecturer, an author, and a wonderful friend of CHIP. CHIP founder Dr. Hans Diehl wrote the foreword in her latest book and said, Chef AJ is, quote, a wonderful magician of the culinary arts, and tells readers, quote, there are surprises waiting for you around every corner, every page, end quote. I found that to be absolutely true. Today we talk with the wonderful magician about her life, her choices, and her journey to health. Chef AJ, welcome to Healthy by Choice.
I love the title of your show because really it is a choice. Everything is a choice.
Absolutely.
And optimum health is a choice.
It certainly is.
And to a large degree, illness is a choice. And you know, people always say, well, you know, it's genetic. You know, my grandmother had heart disease or diabetes. My mother had it, so I'm going to have it. And, you know, I love the quote from Dr. Baxter Montgomery, the vegan cardiologist in Houston. He says, it's not the disease that runs in family. It's the recipes that create the disease that runs in family. Because we know now from epigenetics and work from Dr. Colin Campbell that genetics really only counts for a fraction, as little as 10%, some doctors say even less, of whether or not you get a disease. But if you change your nutrition, you can actually change the expression of your genes. So I believe that everything is a choice, and I encourage people to choose health.
All right, very good. Now, the hard part, Chef AJ, as you've discovered as you talk to people, is that if we take charge of our health, we have to do the hard work. If we take charge of our health, we have to say to the world and to ourselves, where we are is our fault, and no one wants to do that.
There's a difference between fault and responsibility, and so it's not your fault. Because if you had known better, you would have done better sooner. So it's not your fault that you've possibly ended up with a disease, but it's now your responsibility to take responsibility for management of your health and make different choices. People, I believe, are doing the best they can with the knowledge and awareness they have at the time. But once you know better, you start doing better. So it's not your fault. But some of the choices you made, you have to understand, contributed to where you are, probably all of them. And now you can make different choices. So it's your responsibility. It's not anybody else's. You certainly don't want to put it in the hands of your doctor who had maybe 40 minutes of nutritional training in medical school. So, and I think it's great because when you're responsible, then you're able to respond. That's what the word responsible means. You're now able to respond. And I think it's very empowering that you have this responsibility, that you're not leaving it in the hands of our healthcare system or your parents or your doctor, you know. So I look at it as empowerment.
I like that. I like that a lot. In other words, we may have gotten here because of ignorance. We may have gotten here because of good marketing. We may have gotten here because we were not told the whole truth. But from this moment on, from now on, we are in charge and we can make a difference. And you came on to that moment, Chef AJ, many, many years ago. Share with us your journey to health.
Well, I didn't know either. You know, I just assumed that when you get to be a certain age, like in my family, you either die of cancer, heart disease, and diabetes. And if these diseases don't kill you by the time you're 40 or 50, you end up on 14 medications for the rest of your life, statins and diabetes medicine and injectable insulin. You have multiple surgeries for heart disease and stents and bypass and angioplasties, because this is all I saw growing up. I had no idea that what we ate had anything to do with our health. And everybody in my family was a doctor. My grandfather was a doctor. Both of my uncles, both of my brothers ended up becoming doctors. And now I have 14 cousins, nieces, and nephews that are doctors. So nobody ever talked about nutrition or health or any of this. I just saw one by one my family dying of these, what we know now are preventable diseases of lifestyle, as Dr. Esselstyn calls heart disease foodborne illnesses.
Yes.
And so I just assumed by the time I got to my 40s, I would have the same fate. And I never thought about it. Most people don't. That's the thing. Most people, Charles, don't even think about what they put in their mouth ever. Sometimes never until they get sick. And sometimes even then they don't because they're going to their oncologist. Oh, eat whatever you want, you know. And especially people with cancer, they feel so bad. So they give them stuff, which makes them even sicker. And so what happened to me is at the age of 43, I started bleeding profusely and was diagnosed with precancerous polyps in my sigma and colon, the kind that, if not removed, always become cancer. And my grandmother had died of colon cancer, and my uncle had recently had 80% of his colon removed from colon cancer, and my mom died of a bowel obstruction. So we did have a strong family history, no doubt. Robert Frost says, two roads diverged in the woods, and I took the one less traveled, and that made all the difference. And so I refused the drugs in the surgery because they couldn't remove the polyps during the routine sigmoidoscopy because of the state of ill health that my colon was in. And I'm very, very afraid of taking medications. I even have trouble swallowing, you know, pills. I don't even take any vitamins. I mean, I do take B12, but I take the chewable because I just am not a pill taker. And I'm deathly afraid of anesthesia because the one time I did have an operation, it turned out I was allergic to the anesthesia, and I almost died. I remember waking up in the ICU with that bag thing in my throat and respiratory therapist reviving me. And so since then, it's like, I don't want to have any surgery, right? And so I went on, I remember it was July 6, 2003. I'll never forget the date, just like the way that alcoholics never forget their sobriety date. In a way, that was my sobriety date because that's when I got off all things that were so harmful to me, like white sugar and white flour, actually all sugar, all flour, all oil, salt, which we have time we'll talk about. And I went to the Optimum Health Institute in San Diego, California. And it was the first time that anybody, let alone doctors and nurses and people in the medical profession, said anything about diet and how what a powerful predictor it was of health, probably the most powerful predictor. And they said that what we eat has a powerful effect on not only what diseases we get, but what diseases we can reverse. And I found out that even though I had already been vegan for ethical reasons for 26 years, everything I was eating, caffeine, sugar, chocolate, I wasn't drinking alcohol, salt, flour, processed food, all that vegan stuff was creating acidity in my body, and you need to be alkaline for health. And it was also creating inflammation, and they explained how all disease processes, from the common cold to stage 4 cancer, can only exist if the body is in a state of inflammation, and that everything I was eating was the absolute worst thing I could possibly be eating to create health, and it was a surefire way to create disease. And so there were people there that it was a 3-week program. I actually had only done 1 week there, and I did a second week in their Austin branch. But people would come back every Friday and give testimonials. And these people had diseases which I deemed much more serious than mine, all kinds of cancers, lupus, AIDS, you name it, all kinds of diseases. And they would come back on Friday, and they would give testimonials about the diet and the program. And they were all, like, alive and thriving. And I'm like, my disease isn't halfway as serious as theirs. I'll just do the diet. And basically, it was a little bit stricter version of the diet I teach because it was 100% raw. But it was the basic same principles, whole food, unprocessed, no animal products, no alcohol or caffeine or chocolate without the addition of sugar, oil, and salt. And sure enough, within 6 months, I went back to my doctor, had another sigmoidoscopy. They wouldn't even do a colonoscopy, which was really warranted in this case. But even so, within 6 months of following the diet that, you know, I believe God and nature intended, that our ancestors followed throughout pretty much most of human history,
yes,
my colon was clear and clean and pink, clear like a newborn baby, and all the polyps were gone. And the doctor couldn't believe it. He said, where did I go to have surgery? And I said, well, I didn't have surgery. I just changed my diet. And he said, well, that's impossible. And as he left the room, the other doctor in there assisting, who was from India, the country of India, she pulled me over and whispered, well, I believe you. So I knew right there I had something, you know.
So we had two doctors there. One believed you, one didn't. Why wouldn't the other doctor believe you?
I have no idea, Charles. I mean, could you imagine if diet could cure pretty much 90% of all the diseases that doctors are seeing patients for? Well, they'd probably have to get another job. I mean, I hate to sound like that, but, you know, I think that there is some kind of financial thing involved because, it's like we're taking their jobs away, you know? I mean, could you imagine kale instead of chemotherapy, you know? Eating cabbage instead of having a coronary arterial bypass graft? I don't know. I really don't know why they would be so upset. You'd think they'd be thrilled. And, you know, I know people with cancer that have followed this diet, and then they go back to their oncologist, and they'll say, well, I changed my diet. She goes, and they write down miracle.
Yeah.
I mean, they won't even admit that diet could have had anything to do with it, you know?
Yeah. So, well, I think they're right. When they say miracle, I think they're on the right track.
Right. It is a miracle, but it's available to anyone at any time.
Yes.
That's the thing. It's interesting, isn't it? You know, I mean, Kaiser's going to be probably the first one to start, you know, integrating this, because they've done some studies and they're seeing now, especially with heart disease, that this is going to actually save them money. So they will probably get on the bandwagon first, because they realize there is a financial incentive to keeping people healthy this way instead of doing these procedures and giving them pills.
You know, Kaiser is very much on board with the CHIP program, and they are a huge CHIP supporter, and that's a good news too. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, I'm going to talk to Chef AJ about poisons that we're taking in as a regular basis. She had to learn this herself, and when she did, she became, like I said, the disciple, the crusader, and she's out there telling the world that there is danger and there is benefit when we change our lives for the better. So we'll talk more with her after our break, so stay right where you are.
I thought life was just great. I felt well, and then bang, I got told you've got 6 arteries that are blocked and 99% blocked. And so that was a bit of a surprise. I had to have 5 bypasses after that. After getting over the operation and what had to happen there, I went back onto my normal diet, which I thought was great. I had a good diet, I thought. Went back and had blood tests, and I was surprised. My cholesterol was raised, blood pressure was up, and at that point, I was introduced to the CHIP program. I went onto it immediately. Straight away, I thought, I have to do this. Within 2 months of going on the CHIP program, my cholesterol was halved, blood pressure was down. In fact, I had to lower my blood pressure pills because I was getting dizzy. So, hey, that was great. And then that's allowed me now to get back into the things I love. 2 weeks ago, I got back on the bike. And one thing I really noticed, when I used to bike before, I was always out of breath. I went out 2 weeks ago, I hit the hills, I didn't even get a sweat. I was doing some marvellous riding, you know, getting back on the bike, biking with my friends, living life to the full. To me, my life is just beginning again.
To learn how you can recharge your life, visit chiphealth.com. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're here with Chef AJ. She has written a book, by the way, called Unprocessed: How to Achieve Vibrant Health and Your Ideal Weight. And it includes over 100 easy, delicious, nutrient-rich, and gluten-free recipes. That's the book Unprocessed, available at all the places that you buy books. It has a foreword there by CHIP's Dr. Hans Diehl. And as I was saying before the break, Chef AJ is a proponent of healthy eating, but she is also an avid non-supporter of what she calls the evil trinity. And Chef AJ, you make a point that if we drop these 3 items from our diet, we will see some pretty miraculous things happen in our lives. Am I right?
Absolutely. It's the evil trinity, and it's sugar, fat, and salt. And I didn't make these things up as being unhealthy. I mean, this is not anecdotal or conjecture. This is hard science. And a new book actually came out this year, since I've been on your show, February 26th, by Pulitzer Prize winner Michael Moss.
Yes.
Called Salt, Sugar, and Fat: How the Food Giants Hooked Us. And he basically says pretty much the same thing that Dr. Kessler, the former head of the FDA, said in his 2009 book, The End of Overeating, that basically sugar, fat, and salt is addictive, that the processed food industry knew it was addictive, and they purposely created a product high in all 3 that would addict our brain chemistry to their products and make us customers for life, so that when we see commercials on television for Lay's potato chips that say, "Bet you can't eat just one," most people can. And whether a person is a vegan or a vegetarian or a carnivore, they would still be better off and their health would improve if they stopped eating sugar, fat, and salt,
yes,
at least in the degree that they're eating it now in the form of processed food. Now, I personally believe the best diet is the diet that Dr. Campbell mentions on page 7 of his new book, Whole, which is a minimally processed whole food plant-based diet: fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, a little bit of nuts and seeds, with no added sugar, oil, or salt, period. But the amount of sugar, fat, and salt that is in restaurant food and processed food is so incredibly high compared to what a person would ever use at home when they make a recipe. And when you combine these three addictive substances, they're all addictive by themselves, Charles. So all sugar is addictive. It doesn't matter if you call it honey or maple syrup. And all salt is addictive, whether it's Himalayan or Celtic. And all fat is addictive, whether it's extra virgin cold-pressed olive oil or coconut oil. They're all addictive on their own. And there's reasons from history that these are addictive. We're predisposed to preferring them, but not in the amounts that we're getting them in processed food. Our ancestors never ate them in the amounts that we could eat them now due to processing. So they're addictive by themselves, but when you layer and load them in recipes like processed food and restaurant food, they become even more addictive when they're combined. And people think that sugar's not addictive, then why does the processed food industry put it in every single processed food item out there, starting with baby formula? So let's get the kids while they're still infants. Let's make them customers for life. Going all the way to geriatric formula, they put sugar in cigarettes. Sugar is in everything. You cannot get away from it if you buy anything, barbecue sauce, ketchup. There's more sugar in a serving of jarred pasta sauce than in eating two Oreo cookies. So if you're eating processed food, you're eating way too much sugar, fat, and salt. And so if you stop eating processed food and just eat real food, like Dr. Hans Diehl says, food is grown instead of food is manufactured, you will be a lot better off, regardless of what else your diet is.
If it is so invasive and it is so intrusive in our lives, Chef AJ, and someone is used to using these three products, the sugar, the fat, the salt, when they stop cold turkey, there's going to be some pushback from the body saying, hey, where's my sugar, fat, and salt?
It's called detoxification withdrawal, and it's the same thing an alcoholic goes through when they stop drinking, or a cigarette smoker goes through when they stop smoking, or even a coffee drinker goes through. And yes, there is going to be a period of detoxification withdrawal that's going to be unpleasant. And that's how you know it's an addiction, because as much as I love kale, Charles, and I eat it every morning for breakfast, I'm going to Alaska for a week and I'm probably not going to have kale for a week. And guess what? Nothing's going to happen. My body's not going to go into shock. I'm not going to feel bad. Uh-huh. I might miss it, but that's it. That's how you know truly that it is an addiction, by the fact that you do feel bad when you stop it. And so there are things that can help you. I mean, I think the best thing is to go to a place and really detox, such as a True North, where I work many times during the year. That's in Santa Rosa, California, run by Dr. Alan Goldhammer, or a place like Optimum Health Institute, so that at least you can have some rest and you don't have to be going to your job. But yes, that is going to happen. But, you know, the only way out is through, and if you really want to conquer any addiction, you are going to have to experience some discomfort in the beginning. Now, how long that discomfort is going to depend on the degree to which you're addicted. Some people, it could be a couple hours or a couple days with a headache. Some people could actually be weeks. Sorry, I wish there was an easier way to do it, but I don't know of any other way, you know, other than, you know, unless we could just put you in a coma until you're better or something, but I don't think that will work. So yes, there is going to be some, that's why probably one of the reasons why so many people choose not to do it, you know, because they don't want to experience that discomfort.
I've had a lot of people say to me, Charles, I tried that. I tried going whole food plant-based, and I was sicker doing that than I was before, and now we know why.
Well, the thing is this, they're not sicker. See, so that's an error right there, because they are definitely not sicker. They're actually, detoxification is your body's attempt to push these toxins out. So they're actually, the fact that they are detoxing means they're actually on the road to getting well. Mm-hmm. They're perceiving it as they're sicker because they are not feeling good.
Okay.
And there's error in thinking in our society that feeling better means getting better.
Mm.
So I can snort some cocaine and I will immediately feel better, or drink some alcohol and I will feel better. But does that mean that I am getting better?
Right.
No. So the fact that they feel ill is a good sign. That shows that these things are true toxins and their body is trying to have regeneration, repair, and detoxify by pushing it out. People that go vegan, their problem usually is giving up the cheese, because the cheese, the caseomorphines in dairy, are just as addictive as sugar, fat, and salt. You have to be willing to experience some discomfort if you want a greater comfort. You know, I work a lot with people that are addicts of all kinds, and one of the things I do in my program, the Unprocessed 30-Day Challenge, which soon will be available as DVDs that people can purchase and do the program themselves at home or with a group.
Yeah.
The thing is, you can't change what you don't acknowledge, and because processed food and cheese and sugar, fat, and salt is so pervasive on our society, it's easily affordable, readily available, and socially accessible, people don't really perceive it as an addiction, and they don't understand that if you do MRIs of the brain, brain and really look at the scientific research, it is every bit as addictive as drugs or alcohol. Actually, the research now says that sugar is actually more addictive than cocaine. Mm. And so people just don't like that word addiction, and they don't want to acknowledge that they are, because everybody else is doing it, so they don't feel there's anything wrong with it, you know?
Yeah.
But the thing is yes, you might have to experience, you know, some discomfort for a greater pain. It's very hard to tell people what their future could feel like, because they don't know how bad they feel when they're addicted to all these things. I mean, they know on some level, because usually nobody gets off completely without some kind of harm to their body. It's very few people that can continue to abuse their body with cheese and sugar, oil, salt, or the standard American diet and not have something like being overweight or being on medicine for high blood pressure or diabetes. Very few people can escape the ravages of this diet. And so they get used to a certain way of feeling, which if they knew how good they could feel and then go back in time, they'd realize how bad they really felt.
Yes.
But if they can get through that period of detoxification withdrawal, how they will feel is, it's unparalleled compared to how they felt while they were in their addiction. But it's very, very hard to treat. It is, because the rate of recidivism is very high. Everybody around you is doing it. Everywhere you go, people are pushing, you know, unhealthy food in your face. There's a McDonald's or 7-Eleven on every corner. So it is very, very hard in our society. You know, if we lived at another time in human history, or if we even lived in another country today, this wouldn't even be an issue, because we would be eating the food of the land. And this wouldn't even be a problem. And in places like in some parts of Ethiopia and Central America and Asia, this still isn't a problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it is the food, and I can't do anything about that period of discomfort while you're getting off your drug of choice, but I can tell you that if you can get through it, you'll feel better, you'll look better than you ever have in your life. If it was easy, Charles, everybody would do it.
That's true.
And we know that anything worthwhile in life does take effort. I see people in my program that are very, very wealthy, very successful in their business, have raised wonderful families, but they just can't get this piece of the puzzle. And, you know, I'll say to them, I'll say, well, was it easy raising your kids? Oh, no, blah, blah, blah. You know, was it easy building your business? No. So they're willing to do work in other areas. Most people aren't just handed everything to them on a silver spoon. Yes, there are some people that have financial, you know, success from birth. They're people born into privilege. I'm not talking about that. But most successful people I know in business had to work pretty hard to get there. They had to do some things that made them uncomfortable at times, and they struggled at times, but they still did it, and eventually they got the reward. Well, it's the same thing with this, you know. Now, if we knew this information, we could be raising our kids on a whole food plant-based diet without sugar, oil, and salt, like Dr. Goldhammer, who founded True North, has done with his children, and then there is no period of detoxification withdrawal. This is just how you eat, and then when you eat the other way, you actually get sick. So, you know, I'm sorry I don't have a magic pill, but see, that's the problem, Charles, is people are looking for a magic pill, and that's the problem with our healthcare industry, is people are looking for a pill for every ill. And that's where it comes down to taking responsibility, not blame, not shame, not fault, but taking responsibility and wanting to change. You know, how many psychiatrists does it take to change a light bulb? One, but the light bulb has got to want to change. You know, you take one step to me, and I'll take 99 to you to get you there.
Yes.
But the thing is the decision is sometimes the hardest thing, because people do perceive this is going to be painful. But it's not. I mean, just do the CHIP program. That's not painful. I've done it. It's joyous. The food's delicious. You know, you don't have to go 100% overnight. While I do suggest that people have a serious disease like obesity, cancer, heart disease, or diabetes, they might consider going further faster.
Yeah.
But what I tell people, unless they're very, very sick, is just start adding things, you know. Yeah, so, okay, so you can't give up coffee or cheese or whatever it is that you think you can't live without. And by the way, that's a sign that you are an addict, because, you know, people say, well, you mean I can never have wine, I can never have chocolate? So it's not a question of can you never have, it's a question of what are your goals, number one. But see, if you can't go 30 days, and some people can't even go one day without a cup of coffee, a glass of wine, a piece of cheese, then I say you have an addiction. If you can't go one day, then the thought of my 30-day program for people who are addicted is just overwhelming. So what I tell those people, because they're obviously not ready to make the commitment to go whole kale yet, is to at least start adding fruits and vegetables. You know, if you're not willing to give up the bad stuff, at least start putting good stuff in your body. Flood yourself with those micronutrients from the fruits and vegetables. Americans eat over 90% of their calories from animal products and processed food, and less than 10% from fruits and vegetables, more like 7%, and it's usually a potato, which is not a horrible food. It's a wonderful food. They're 400 calories a pound with water and fiber and vitamins and minerals and phytochemicals and antioxidants and micronutrients. But how do Americans eat potatoes? Deep fried and sugar, fat, and salt. It's French fries or potato chips. Yeah. And by the way, our government now says that French fries are a vegetable, that pizza are a vegetable. So you take a whole natural food and you turn it into a fractionated food-like substance. It's now 2,500 calories a pound. So start eating a salad every day. Start eating some fruit. You know, have a green smoothie. Eat some vegetables with your meal. If you're not ready to give up these things that you think you love, which, by the way, not only don't love you back, they actually hate you because they're making you fat, sick, and nearly dead, as the title of the movie says, at least start eating some fruits and vegetables. And the more fruits and vegetables you eat, the better they start tasting and the more of them you want, especially when your cells start being flooded with those nutrients. Do your best and bless the rest. But a lot of people aren't doing their best.
Absolutely.
I don't think a lot of people are even trying.
Absolutely. I can tell you, listener, and you can tell by listening to this lady here, that this is a woman who is dedicated and passionate about this. And we need to become that dedicated and that passionate about our health, because our doctor is not going to do it. Our wife or husband is not going to do it. Our children aren't going to do it. Our neighbor is not going to do it. We have to do it ourselves. And that's her message. We have to take charge. And of course, that's the message of the entire Complete Health Improvement Program. We have to take charge of our health. We have to be healthy by choice, just like this program calls it. We have to be healthy by choice. Chef AJ, in closing here, how do people get more information about you and the programs you're offering?
Well, I think the best way is to just sign up for my website. We don't send out a lot of emails, maybe one a month, if that. The website is the word eat before the word unprocessed. My book is unprocessed, so the website is www.eatunprocessed.com. They can sign up for my website. I send out recipes. There's about 52 recipes right now on my website with Juliana Hever, the plant-based dietitian, yes, where we do videos and provide the recipe. And I produce an annual event called Healthy Taste of LA. Actually, we just had Dr. Hans Thiel, as a matter of fact,
yes,
where we bring some of the best speakers like Colin Campbell and Dr. Esselstyn and Neil Barnard together once a year for these health conferences in Southern California. So these are wonderful ways to get more information and actually get to taste the foods and see the chefs actually preparing them.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. That's eatunprocessed.com for all the information about what's available to you, the recipes, the schedule for the meetings coming up, and also how you can get a copy of Chef AJ's book, Unprocessed. I recommend it very strongly to our listeners because she has that way of saying things that is entertaining and passionate and motivating for us, and we need to be motivated to be healthy. Like I say, it is our choice. Chef AJ, always a pleasure having you with us. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks so much, Charles.
And listener, I want to invite you to that website, eatunprocessed.com. You can also visit www.chiphealth.com for more information about the CHIP program and whether it's coming to your area. Also, there are recipes there as well. So lots of resources for you to enjoy at those websites, eatunprocessed.com and chiphealth.com. Until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Chef AJ inviting you to be healthy by choice. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about Healthy by Choice, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651. You can also email us through our website at 3abn.org.